Hey, so we've been on a break for a little bit, but we back. And in this episode, we're going to be talking about a lot of things, okay? Been a lot of controversy. So I'm going to give my thoughts on that movie Cuties. I'm going to also talk about John Thompson, and then I'm also going to talk about Dak Prescott, okay? In the news on him. So on this episode of Wild Word. Listen, tell me what you think. Peace. What up, what up? So we have been on a long break, got a lot of work to do. Been on a long break, you know what I'm saying? But been looking at a lot of things going on, and I got some comments, okay? So first thing we're gonna talk about is this movie called Cuties on Netflix. And if you follow me, I had a lot to say about this. And let me just say that it wasn't my thing to go watch this movie. I pretty much saw it on my timeline, people being very emotional, very upset about it. And then you find out that most people didn't even really see it. So that's my thing. So if you see me going hard, it's not so I'm saying, oh, you have to watch this movie. If you don't want to watch it, great, don't watch it. But my whole thing is people went to another step. Not only did they not want to watch it, they were vehemently against it, but then they went to the extra step of banning it and telling people, telling Netflix to ban the movie and trying to ban Netflix for even having it on there. So I was just like, whoa. And I seen a whole lot of articles on it. I seen people calling people names and just calling people pedophiles just for watching the movie. And I was just like, what is all this hype about? And like I said, just like with another movie, with Harriet, people were having these deep analysis of the movie without even having seen the whole movie, without having seen the whole context of the movie. You see what I'm saying? So that's my thing. So some people calling it child porn, not Harriet, but Cuties. Some people calling it child porn. Some people are calling it some type of sex trafficking movie, and it leads to sex trafficking. All of these names and all of this stupid stuff. And I had to guess, and I saw an article that just pretty much said that a lot of conservatives and a lot of people are trying to politicize the movie. And then even a lot of regular people, just normal, non-political people, didn't like how it was marketed. And that's fair, okay? Because the picture that they used to market it in the United States was not particularly good. It just seems like it was supposed to be for shock value. But if you're in America, that shouldn't really surprise you. I think we're just not used to being shocked like this with 11-year-olds and, very skimpy outfits and stuff. But, it is what it is. But if you watch the movie, it pretty much is very much against the sexualization of young kids. It's not a movie that is promoting that as a good thing. And actually, I feel like a lot of the conversations is not about the issues that the movie is raising, which is a shame, because it's talking about the sexualization of women and how that's a bad thing. It's also talking about the extreme, on the other extreme, of how religiosity and how, like, being very, very conservative in terms of your religion, in terms of how it's, depends on how it's interpreted, can be oppressive to women as well. So so in the movie, pretty much just this girl, she's from Senegal. A lot of people in Senegal are Muslim. She comes from a very conservative Muslim family. And, she sees her mom pretty much, because over there you can have more than one wife. So she sees that her husband is taking a new wife and she's very distraught about it. But it's nothing really she can do because that's their culture. And then the girl sees how sad her mom is and she's like, I don't feel like doing this. I don't want to be in this culture. You know what I'm saying? For women, that's not what I want to look forward to. Because I guess even her aunt or whatever was like, yeah, you can look forward to being married at, 14 or 15 or whatever, So, and that's how a lot of those conservative, very religiously conservative countries do. So Like, she like, is that my option? No. Then she befriends, she sees these other girls dancing. They seem like they're kind of free, quote unquote, compared to her culture. And they're like, you know, she gets attracted to that lifestyle and wants to dance and all of that stuff. But she soon realizes that, you know, the grass is not greener on the other side. You know, a lot of these girls over-sexualize themselves. They, you know, post, you know, inappropriate stuff online just for attention and you know, just to, quote-unquote, be accepted or to be beautiful. And how that, on that extreme, that is oppressive to women as well. So it's really, like, if you look at the nuance of the movie, it's really a really good movie because it talks about a lot of issues that's going on now, you know. And I feel like a lot of the people who don't want to watch it, it's a conversation you need to have with your kids. You need to tell your kids, your girls and your boys, that, you know, you're not, you don't have to use your body in order for you to be beautiful. That's not the only way you can display your beauty. And you don't need to always get validation from people, because we live in a society where everybody want to be validated by hearts and likes, and you don't need to just sell your soul and just do anything for likes and do anything just for people to like you. You know, just be your authentic self, but you don't need to post, you know, your private parts and have skimpy outfits just for you to be accepted. You see what I'm saying? And, you know, this movie feels like it's supposed to make you uncomfortable. It's supposed to be kind of cringy and uncomfortable to watch. It's not, no, you know, this is not something that you just want to, it's not going to entertain you. You know, this ain't no scary movie where you already know what the damn plot is or whatever. This is not a formulaic movie like that. It's, you know, it's supposed to challenge you. It's supposed to make you uncomfortable. And it's supposed to lead to some real conversations regarding, you know, our culture, our standards, and how we can't go into the extremes on either side. You know, we can't go into the super religious, conservative, let's just, you know, not talk about sex ever, let's just hide ourselves from the world. But you also can't go all the way to the other extreme and just, you know, want to just embrace sex and all of that stuff too early. You see what I'm saying? And thinking that's just your body and your physical appearance is the only way you can be beautiful. You know, so it shows you the extremes of both of those frames of thought and both of those ideologies, pretty much. But this movie should make you uncomfortable, and I think that's what it's supposed to do. And yeah, and the parents who think they can just parent control their way through life, nah, that's not gonna work. You know, you just thinking, oh yeah, I got the parent control set up in the TV, and oh yeah, they don't have a phone, or yeah, but you can't really hide your kids from that. You can't really hide, I mean, it's messed up, but you really can't hide your kids from seeing certain images online. Even if you take their phone and, you know, block everything at your house, you know, they're still in contact with other kids. I'm a teacher, I see that all the time. You know, I see people who talk about, or teenagers and whatever, and you hear people talking about sex and stuff, and they tell them wrong information. You see what I'm saying? So if you're one of them parents who not discussing sex with your kids, best believe that their friends are, and society is teaching them. So if you're not teaching them, society is teaching them in terms of what they see on the internet, and their friends are teaching them. And a lot of times they're teaching them the wrong info. So this movie challenges you and says, hey, you know what? I need to talk to my 8-year-old, 9-year-old right now about sex and about how you can be beautiful without necessarily showing your body off. You know, that's not the only way to be beautiful. But at the same time, you don't need to make it seem like sex is a bad thing. You see what I'm saying? And punish it and make it seem like it's a taboo either. You know, so it's a balance that you got to strike when you start talking about sex. And you got to understand they're going to be curious and stuff and answer their questions. If they are old enough to ask a question, you need to answer the question and give them the real facts, because somebody else may give them some bullshit. You see what I'm saying? So, but that's my take. You know, don't watch the movie. Watch the movie. But this whole banning it is ridiculous. You know, man, if you don't want to watch it, don't watch it. You see what I'm saying? But I think the conversations that it talks about within the movie are very, very fruitful, for real. And those conversations need to be had. Okay, so that's my take. What you think about it? You seen it? Haven't seen it? Get back to me. Tell me what you think on Wild Word. What up? What up? So we on the second topic, and you know this might be a little bit old by time it's come out, but you know I had a little moments to think about this, you know, and I want to talk about this this whole racial justice thing and how you had the Kansas City Chiefs. So that was the first game of the NFL season, Kansas City Chiefs versus the Texans, Houston Texans, and there's been a lot of controversy on what they're going to do before the game. Are they going to do the kneeling on the national anthem? What are they going to do? Are they going to be in the locker room? All of this stuff. But I guess this first game on Thursday, they said, you know what? We're going to just link arms. Some people linked arms from both teams. And they said, hey, we're going to do this for racial equality. That's what we're going to do this for. Okay, the personal loudspeaker said that. Hey, we're going to lock arms for racial equality. And when they begin to do it, the fans started booing. You know what I'm saying? Fans started booing. You know what I'm saying? And I ain't like that. You know what I'm saying? They still played the game. But then it got me thinking, you know, over several days, you know, John Thompson, who was the first black coach to win a national championship, you know, at Georgetown, he recently passed away. Okay? Passed away at 78. Rest in peace to John Thompson. But a lot of times when we honor these people, we need to really honor them and walk in the same footsteps that they did in terms of why we actually honored them. So we honor Martin Luther King, but we won't do the things Martin Luther King wanted us to do in terms of love and respect. We honor John Thompson, but a lot of the coaches are not moving like John Thompson. You know, now I understand everybody's not going to agree on everything. But the reason why people respected John Thompson so much is because he cared about his players as people. Yes, you know, he was a good coach and he knew the X's and O's, but he was a mentor to a lot of his players. You know, they looked at him as a father figure because they knew that they felt that love and that warmth and that, you know, they saw that he actually cared about them more than just how many points they can put up. You know, he actually wanted them to succeed as young men, at, you know, be a family man, all of that stuff, get your education. He wanted them to succeed in more ways than just being an athlete, okay? So, but he cared about their actual well-being. And you can tell he cared about their well-being in an incident that happened in 1983 where Patrick Ewing was being, you know, teased and the fans were going crazy, but a lot of their, you know, fandom, quote unquote, was pretty much racism when they went to go play Villanova, that's in Philadelphia. And a lot of the people was, you know, calling Patrick Ewing all types of monkeys, saying that he couldn't read, which is, you know, definitely a racist trope, right? You know, saying that black people can't read and we can't be well spoken. And they was, you know, throwing, I think someone threw a, I don't think, I read, a fan actually threw a banana peel on the court, you know, when they was actually introducing, you know, the Georgetown Hoyas. And, you know, John Thompson said, oh, hell nah, we ain't playing. You know, he walked his people off the court and he walked off. He had his team walk off the court until they got rid of those racist signs. They forced those fans to take down those racist signs. You see what I'm saying? So people, you're not entitled just because you're a fan that you're the customer is always right. That is bullshit. That customer's always right? No, the customer's not always right, especially when they're expressing racism. You got to call a spade, you know? And it's crazy that a lot of people want to honor John Thompson, you know what I'm saying? But they're not following in the footsteps of John Thompson. So me personally, now looking back on that incident, you know, that just happened on Thursday with the fans booing in Kansas City, I would have liked to see some of them fans escorted out. You know, so it's good to see everybody doing the commercials for Black Lives Matter, and everybody saying equality, or they saying little slogans, and a lot of people are kneeling and doing the signs and symbols. That's cool. But now you got to have to do some action, and some of those actions going to make people feel uncomfortable. Just because you buy a ticket to an NFL game don't entitle you just to be there. It don't entitle you to be there if you're being racist. Or even, like, let's take it to another situation. If you buy a ticket and then you try to run out on the field, them security people gonna get your ass up out of there. You know what I'm saying? So just because you bought your ticket and you was a few fans they let in the game, doesn't mean that you just get to boo racial injustice. Excuse me. You know, these people are not just here to entertain you. These black bodies are not here just to entertain you. They're actual people. You know what I'm saying? So they divorced it from the national anthem. So you can't use that excuse no more. They said, hey, this is for racial equality. Let's link arms. Let's have a moment of silence. And people booed. You know, they should have been like, nah, we ain't playing until those people get up out of here. You know, and you can tell it's a clear difference between the NFL and the NBA. Like the NFL, you can tell their players don't have a lot of power there. You know, their CBA is not as strong as an NBA, because the NBA wouldn't tolerate that. The NBA, they got Donald Sterling ass the fuck out of there. You know, he was the Clippers owner before Steve Ballmer, so he was caught with some tapes saying, you know, he didn't like that his girlfriend was hanging around blacks and taking pictures with blacks and taking pictures with Magic Johnson. And those tapes got out, and they got them. He got him the fuck out of the NBA. They said you banned for life. You can't even come to the game. So that is an example of taking a bold stance against racism. You can do all the commercials, you can do all that stuff you want, but if it's not met with action, it's just signs and symbols. As my dad said, just signs and symbols, signs and symbols. We need actual substantive policies in place. And when you see racism like that, oh nah, we don't want that dollar. But that's the messed up thing about just being about money. You see what I'm saying? When your whole framework is just about money, 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 you won't be able to be for social justice. Okay, so you can go from example to example. It's many people who we consider heroes now, they of course lost out on money and stuff because they were taking bold stands for oppressed people. They were taking bold stands against racism. And Muhammad Ali, his whole career was taken away from him. You know, so if we're gonna get into the social justice stuff, it's not always gonna be comfortable and your money is always gonna be right and all that, you know. So yeah, so we can't just worship money and think we really gonna be fighting against racism, you know. So everybody dollar is not welcome. It shouldn't be, you know. So you gotta tell them, hey, this is what we doing. You booing racial injustice, or get the fuck out. Because if somebody did that for let's do something for domestic violence, and they booed, they would have been escorted out, right? So. But that's just my take on it. What you think about that? I think they should have followed in the tradition of John Thompson and said, hey, we ain't playing until them racists get up out of here. So that's my take on Wild Word. All right, we on the last topic, and this last topic is about Dak Prescott. I know a lot of people have been talking about this. Skip Bayless got in trouble for pretty much being very insensitive to this topic, but it was revealed that Dak Prescott's brother, you know, committed suicide, and, you know, rest in peace to him. And then Dak Prescott also had an interview where he talked about him and his mental health struggles, you know, in terms of him facing depression during the quarantine and this whole COVID crisis. And, you know, this story pretty much tugged at my heart because, you know, this whole COVID experience is definitely different and it's new. And, you know, I think a lot of us have been, you know, I just speak for myself, have been battling with different bouts of like being up and then being down in terms of being depressed and stuff. So because you're just at home all day, you can't do nothing. You work at home and then you stay at home. You can't really go out too much. You got to have a mask everywhere you go. And this is different. It's very much different, you know. And I'm not complaining about wearing a mask, you know, if that saves people's life, cool. You know, you got to do it. But it's just, you know, like you said, you can't go out. And some people are starting to go out and stuff. I personally think that's too early. You know, you got, like you said, you already know my views when it comes to them opening up schools and stuff. I think that's way too early, you know. But it's like, when is this going to be over, you know? So, yeah, so it definitely can be depressing and things like that. I'm happy that, you know, Dak came out and spoke on that. I think more people do need to speak about their mental health, and, you know, because that is health, you know. So I think Big Sean talks a lot about it. You know, there's a couple of basketball players who talked about it too. So it's a everyday thing, you know. It's an everyday thing, and I think more and more people who talk about it, it makes it more normal. It's not something that like, oh, you're crazy and something's wrong with you, or you're weak or whatever. And I think that's what got Skip Bayless in trouble, you know, because he essentially said that, oh, he shouldn't reveal that he has depression because his teammates are going to think he's weak and all of that. And that's what people call, I know people call a lot of stuff toxic, but that's toxic. You see what I'm saying? That's what people are talking about when they say toxic masculinity. You know, I like the Jordan documentary, but we don't need to follow everything Jordan did, you know, like being hyper masculine. You know, you can't be vulnerable, you gotta curse people out. You know, everybody doesn't is not going to respond to that type of leadership, you know. And I think sometimes with Skip, you know, he has such a high reverence and high respect for Jordan, is that he thinks everybody's supposed to operate like that. Everybody's supposed to be like, oh, I want to win at all costs, I'm going to curse you out, I got no vulnerability, no weakness, all of that stuff. But, you know, we got to get out of that. You know, it's nothing weak about you being real about your feelings and actually being human. That just makes you a human being, you know. So I think, you know, so hopefully he learns from that. Okay, but I just, definitely my heart goes out to Dak Prescott and his family for that. You know, I don't know what that feels like, losing a family member like that. So, you know, to suicide. So, you know, so rest in peace to him, and rest in, you know, and I just shout out to everybody during this quarantine. Just make sure you handle your mental health. Take a walk if you need to take a walk. So, you know, I'm not a mental health professional by any means. So, you know, but just like you said, I know what works for me. Sometimes taking a walk, therapy has worked in terms of, you know, talking to someone. So I started that. That's pretty good. You know, just, you know, every couple of weeks or so. So that's good. Just kind of airing out what your feelings are and things like that, because you can't really use your friends for that all the time, because, you know, they don't want to be burdened with your issues all the time. You know what I'm saying? So you want to talk to someone who's professional, who knows what they're talking about, and, you know, yeah, and who can kind of just unpack a lot of your feelings and emotions, even if you can't, you know. So, but that's my take. So this is Wow Word. So if you have any comments, you know, hit me on Facebook or Instagram. Peace.